is now in session.
Damn.
This episode of GG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Friday, March 6th, 2017. A monstrous 12-game slate on tap to start the week. So yes, it stinks that it is Monday, but it is glorious that the judge is here. A new episode of DG Courtroom. And also, we get a monster slate to kick off the week tonight. So that's a good thing. Although I will take note, Tuesday is a crappy 3-game slate. And then Wednesday, again, is another monster slate. I think it's like 11 games on Wednesday. That infuriates the judge. Why can't we just have like 7 games every night, which they, you know, 7 to 8 games is the ideal amount. 12 games, it's overwhelming. So we're going to have to do, you know, remember, and the slate dictates what we do. Later on in this episode, I will let you know what city we are in to guide us for the picking players. But it's overwhelming. So we're going to have to narrow the player pool, because remember, all day long on Monday, don't be staring at a list of 1,000 players, and you got to make decisions. Before we start the show, remember, please do 3 things for the judge. Number 1, rate, review, and subscribe. Well, I guess that's 3 right there. Let's make that 1. So 1, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. I looked at the ratings today. We have not gotten a new rating in a while. I've got a couple from some of my lovely friends at the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. But none of the listeners, me and the bailiff, we're talking about this. Where are the ratings? It's really easy. And a lot of you have tweeted at me saying you can't find like how to rate the podcast. I can't tell if you guys are messing with me or if you genuinely mean that. I went and did it. You click on iTunes, hit rate and review, write a review. It was really easy. So please help your friend, the judge, out. We had over 150,000 listens in February, which is, you know, when I started doing this little show, that's pretty remarkable. We got that many people listening. So the fact that we had like 3 people write reviews, you know, in the last couple of weeks, that's disappointing. That makes me very sad. So please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Also, when I tweet the show out to the world, please retweet it out. Now, as you may have been noticing, the judge has been unleashing a sneaky audio clip, like a 10-minute or so audio clip, about an hour or so before lineup lock, because – on weekends, I don't do podcasts. The judge rests. The judge takes a bailiff for long walks in the park. Oh, let me tell you, this weekend in New York City, it was so bitter freaking cold. It was disgusting. It was like 20 degrees, super windy, just horrible. The weather was an absolute soul crusher. You know, that's one thing in New York that's really frustrating. Is it's like a yo-yo. It's basically like who's a player recently whose minutes are all over the place? It's Greg Monroe. The weather has been Greg Monroe. It's 30 minutes one day, 12 minutes the next day. I mean, I swear to God, last week we had 60 degree weather, and the next day it's like 20 degrees. I just hate that. The uncertainty, guys, is what kills you. It kills us in real life, in DFS, weather. Man, uncertainty. No one likes uncertainty. So, though, the judge has been unleashing these sneaky audio clips about an hour before lineup lock, because a lot changes by the time I do the podcast, which now it's 3:30 in the morning, and by the time lineup lock hits, which is about, you know, 6 p.m. Eastern, let's say the slate and games tip off about 7 p.m. Eastern. So I'm, you know, because so much changes, I am doing kind of like a 10-minute audio clip to give you my top plays based on all the news that happens throughout the course of the day. However, in order to unlock and unleash my top plays, which I take great pride in, and also I do a lot of research, so I need to kind of know early in the day if I'm going to be doing one of those videos and if I'm going to have enough time to do one of those. So lately what I've been doing is if we get 100 retweets, then I will do one of those little 10-minute audio clips for you guys. I don't know what to call it. Is it a video? Is it an audio clip? Because I basically just do it via this app called Bumpers. And I basically just tweet out the link via my Twitter account. Yeah, really easy. You just click and listen. So I figure we need an easy way to get 100 retweets. And I cannot, again, uncertainty. We can't have the uncertainty happening to me around 3, 4 p.m. Eastern, not knowing if I'm going to have to record one of those audio clips. I need to know it earlier in the day. So this is what we're going to do. This is how you guys can unleash and get this glorious 10-minute audio clip of the judges' top picks tomorrow around lineup lock. We need 100 retweets of the link that I tweet out for this podcast that I'm recording right now and that I tweet out a couple times during the course of the day. I'll probably tweet out, you know, when I post this at, 6 a.m. Eastern time, and then again, you know, noon, 1, 2. So whenever I do tweet out this podcast, the DG Courtroom official podcast, I want you guys to retweet it. If we get 100 retweets, and let's say by, I'll give you guys till 4 p.m. Eastern, that will be the cutoff. 100 retweets by 4 p.m. Eastern, then the judge shall come through and give you guys another additional content of a 10-minute glorious audio clip, giving you my top plays based on all the crappy injury news or whatever that goes down on Monday. Hope that made sense. God, I feel like that was way too verbose. It was not succinct at all. The judge needs to learn how to be succinct. So remember, 100 retweets. So basically, when I tweet out the show, just retweet it. Also, download, support the sponsor. So remember, you're doing three things: rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Number one. Number two, you are retweeting whenever I tweet out the podcast. And then three, support the sponsor. Download the app Draft, and when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. I want to give a quick shout out to Stephen Cav at Stephen though on Twitter. He is in the final four of the 7-day bracket challenge to the death, which remember a new judges chambers is released on the app Draft every week, every Wednesday morning. It is up. It's a $10 entry fee, 128 spots every day. It's a mano-a-mano competition. Winners advance, and Stephen Cav is now in the final four, which takes place on Monday. First place is $500, I think. So congrats to him. We are all rooting for you, my friend. Let us know how it goes on Monday. Let's see. Speaking of chambers, so we had our best of the best chambers, which is invitation only based on the power rankings, which was on Friday. So I want to give a shout out to the people who won that. On FanDuel, Tebow's brother, who I think his name is Joseph Catcher, won that. Longtime listener of the judge. Congrats to you, my friend. Buzz F., Josh Furler took second place. Congrats. A new player at DFS this year. He has surpassed the judges' expectations. So he's become a pretty good DFS player, which is good to see. And then Matt Millions, who I think is the number 7 or 8 ranked player on FanDuel this year. So congrats to you three in the best of the best chambers on FanDuel. On DraftKings, Autrelia 83. And this guy I love because he has the same Twitter handle that he does like DraftKings username. If that could just not be the case for everyone, instead of the judge searching for hours, finding someone's Twitter handle and their username, man, the amount of nightmares I have over trying to do that is painful. But Autrelia 83 took down the DraftKings best of the best. Congrats to you. What up, Doe 88 took second, and the judge took third. I object to myself, but third place, I have to accept it. That's what happened with the judge. So Chambers on Sunday, and now many of you who are maybe new listeners to Shore, what is this Chambers you speak of, weird judge? So Chambers is a tournament that we run on FanDuel, on DraftKings, and the app Draft every day, basically. Three of them on FanDuel, 20 spots each. One of them on DraftKings, 50 spots. And it's comprised of the best players in the DFS universe. They all get together, and we try to beat each other's brains in, and we also root for each other outside of Chambers. You know, it's a way for us to – people who are listening to the podcast to interact with each other and also interact with the judge. And we've had over 820 people now, I think, in the FanDuel Chambers this year on DraftKings. I need to – someone else helps me with the DraftKings data. I should ask him how many people have been in DraftKings Chambers. I will get that data for you soon. So on Sunday night, we had high scores because you had cheap bums putting 8, 9, 10 times value, like Bismack Biyombo. And of course, Brandon Ingram had a good game because of course he did. Brittingham T won one of the chambers on FanDuel with a score of 322. I think it's his first win of the year. He's a good player. It's a 7th cash, but I think that's his first win. If I'm wrong on that, let me know, Brittingham. And then Super Macho Business Donkeys, which took me like an hour to write down. That's a long name, man. I would like to know why are you a Super Macho Business Donkey? That's an interesting name. But his fourth win of the year, his sixth cash. I think he had a score of like 333 or something. I think to like cash in Chambers, you needed a score over 330, which is a pretty insane high number, at least in one of the Chambers. So we actually only had two Chambers on FanDuel on Sunday. And then a DraftKings War underscore Hammer underscore 33. I think another guy I love because it was the same Twitter handle that he had, you know, as his DraftKings username. So I think that's his first win on DraftKings. So congrats to you. Score of 317, which is a beautiful score on DraftKings. Only eight players on DraftKings. Call of 45 took second, and then EPAB 2350, who took third. All right, let's do everyone's favorite segment. We need a sponsor for this segment. What segment is this? It is Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. What would be a good sponsor for that segment? Would it? I don't know. Someone tweet at me. What would be a good sponsor for that segment? And then I'll have to start harassing companies. I mean, how can we have 150 downloads in February and, like, you know, where are the sponsors? They should be lining up. Unbelievable. God. I got to tell you guys. Well, I won't tell you. There's so much behind-the-scenes stuff that I could go into. Makes the judge so angry. But I will not bore you with those details. You want glory, not suffering. All right. So, and the judge, I actually had plans on Sunday night. So I only watched – what did I watch? I watched the 5 p.m. games, and then I missed some of the late games. So basically, late games, I'm going to be reading box scores like Roto Trash. Although maybe I'll just pretend I'm watching them. So like hashtag Roto Trash or Sleepy Grinders or whatever you want to call them. First game, Boston-Phoenix. This game started off – man, I think I was tweeting out snail emojis, turtle emojis. The first half, the pace was not good. You know, the over-under for this game, I forgot what it was. It was well over 220. First half, the pace was so slow. I was super nervous because I loved this game, especially because we found out, what, 40 minutes before lineup lock, maybe an hour before lineup lock, that Al Horford was going to be out and also Avery Bradley was going to be out. And it opened up all the value in the world for Boston. So suddenly guys like Jaylen Brown, man, Jaylen Brown was made for a fast-paced game against Phoenix. So I loved him. Marcus Smart being another really good play. He crapped the bed. Although if you're watching the game, he played well. He played super hard. He just, you know, he only took five shots. He got to the free throw line a ton. But he just, a lot of times he's more of a better player in real life than he is in fantasy. Like if you watch him in real life, like he's all over the place. He dives for a loose ball. Man, he's the polar opposite of a tin man. But in terms of fantasy production, he didn't get there for us tonight. He was so chalky and so high owned. And even though he was cheap, he ended up being a soul crusher, if you ask me. Jaylen Brown ended up, after a slow first half, he was okay, not bad. Isaiah Thomas, he ended up being a dream lover. Because if you played Wall over Isaiah Thomas, which a lot of people did, I did in some lineups, that did not work out. Isaiah had a much better, especially the usage rate went up with Horford and Bradley being out. So Isaiah took 25 shots with 11 free throws. So the usage rate was massive. He had 35 points, only 5 assists because, you know, he never passed the ball anyway. A couple steals, 5 three-pointers. So he played well, especially in the fourth quarter like he always does. So he was a dream lover. Also, the surprising thing of the, you know, sneaky ninja dream lover was Amir frickin' Johnson, which is frustrating as hell. I think I had zero exposure to Amir Johnson. I know a lot of, you know, we heard Jerebko was starting, so I think a lot of you might have played Jerebko. Luckily, I didn't play him either. Jerebko was trash like he always is. 20 minutes, only 1.5 rebounds. But Amir Johnson, in only 27 minutes, 13 points, 3 blocks, 1 steal, 3 assists, 8 rebounds. Just wants me, make me want to throw up. He had over 35 FanDuel points. He was in a lot of winning tournament lineups. He was dirt cheap, so yeah. And if you played Kelly Olynyk, that didn't work out either. 22 minutes for Olynyk, dream killer. 0 points, 4 rebounds. Just a disastrous performance by a lot of the value that we thought that was out there for Boston didn't work out. But if you played Isaiah Brown and Amir Johnson, those guys were dream lovers for you. For the Phoenix side, A guy that I wanted to play a lot of, because remember, it was a five-game slate, small slates. If you're trying to take down a tournament, you need to differentiate lineups. You need guys who are going to be low-owned. I knew Marquise Chris was going to be overlooked with all the value opening up. He was. He was like 5% owned in most of the tournaments that I played. He came through 10 points, 6 rebounds, 5 blocks. The blocks were an anomaly, but he's super athletic. So he was great. He hit 6-7 times his salary. TJ Warren was okay. Bledsoe, he was a dream lover. I saw him in a lot of winning GPP lineups because, again, the key to taking down tournaments, sometimes it's not just getting 5, 6, 7 times your salary, right? Sometimes you have to think about, okay, who are the top-ranked guards on this slate? So for this slate, who was it? It was Wall. It was Isaiah Thomas. It was Bledsoe. Was there anyone else? Of course, we had Westbrook. So basically, if you played Bledsoe and Isaiah Thomas, especially, and Westbrook was 13.4K on FanDuel. I think he was over 13K on DraftKings. He was so expensive. And Westbrook only had like 48 FanDuel or DraftKings points. So Bledsoe basically matched Westbrook and Isaiah Thomas. So sometimes you have to think about, okay, I just need, at the end of the night, who can I envision being in the winning tournament lineups? And maybe that's going to be a different calculation than I need someone hitting me 7-8 times salary. On a 12-game slate like we have on Monday, there every player in your lineup is probably going to have to hit 6, 7, 8 times salary. But on a 5-game slate, it's not always the case. Sometimes you just think about, you know what? Just think about which guy can actually just hit value, which guy has the best matchup, and you can go from there. Because remember, and I did a consultation with someone on Sunday night, and we were talking about – he's asking me a lot of questions. The questions were excellent, but my response to all of them may not have been pleased with. But in DFS, you can't think black and white. Everything's always in flux. Everything is always moving. It's constantly evolving. So if you have a set way of thinking, and I think one of his questions was, on DraftKings for the utility spot, should I play a point guard or center? That seems to make the most sense. And for the most part, that's a good, decent strategy to have. Right, but we can never think like that. You can't be closed-minded because the slate will dictate what we do. And tonight we had late injury news as well. So you have a slate, you have injury news, you have matchups, you have pace, you have all kinds of things that go into effect when it comes down to deciding who you're going to play each night. So you can't just go into your roster construction and say, you know what, in my utility every day I need to have point guard or center. Remember, black and white thinking is bad. This ain't a Michael Jackson song. No black and white. So Bledsoe was a dream lover, 28 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. And remember, who do you attack for Boston? Isaiah Thomas is such a bad defender. Him and Dennis Schroeder, to me, are the two worst, and maybe Kyrie, might be the worst three point guard defenders. They play zero defense. And some of that is because they're doing so much on the offensive end. Other than that is just they just don't care. Alex Len, I don't know why he still starts. 13 minutes, dream killer. I'm sick of him starting. Sauce, big Sauce again. Off the bench, Alan Williams, 31 minutes, 11 points, 15 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block. He's becoming super – he's more expensive than Al Horford these days, and rightfully so. But he was a dream lover again. Now, was he the ultimate dream lover? No, because basically Bismack had the same amount of FanDuel DraftKings points Alan Williams did. Bismack was the minimum. And also, a guy who continues to dominate and play tremendous – Tyler Ulis. I don't know if you guys have been watching Phoenix games. Next time Phoenix is on, just watch this little guy play. Watching him and Isaiah go head to head. They're both like 4'6". Two little midgets running around the court, but both just supremely gifted athletically, and obviously their basketball abilities. Tyler Ulis was great again. 20 points, 33 minutes, which was the best thing, if you ask me. 5 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 block. And you are seeing them play Bledsoe and Ulis together. So Phoenix is running out these really wacky, tiny lineups. It's pretty interesting to watch. Also, the one thing to keep note, which is one Phoenix guy who I haven't mentioned yet. Who haven't I mentioned Phoenix? Who, since the All-Star break, really, who has been kind of a dream killer almost every night, and his salary has plummeted? Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Let's hear it. I can't hear your answers. I heard someone yell out a Barbosa. No, it's wrong. I hear someone, Tyson Chandler. No, it's wrong. Brandon Knight. No, those guys don't play. Devin Booker. That's right. Where is Devin Booker? Remember, what's like my favorite podcast to listen to right now after GG Courtroom? Missing Richard Simmons. You know what a new podcast? Missing Devin Booker. Devin Booker, since the All-Star break, I mean, and yes, I already can see the tweets coming in. He got in foul trouble, Judge. Nonsense. I don't care. He sucks. He's been horrible lately. And he's a one-trick pony. So if he's not putting up tons of shots and scoring you tons of actual points, he's useless. Now, will his salary get to a point where he's playable again? Yes, it will. But right now, only 20, 27 minutes, 16 actual points. I mean, you're having so many shooting guards have surpassed him. Seth Curry is a much better player these days. So Devin Booker, again, was a dream killer. And I think every game since All-Star break, he's been a freaking mess. Next game up, Orlando, Washington. Wizards won. I think the Wizards won late. This was Orlando kept this close. This was a nice game in terms of pace, so 229 over-under. 115-114, Washington was the victors. For Orlando, we learned Horford was going to be out, but an hour before the lineup lock, we also found out Vucevic was going to be out. And that's what made Bismack an intriguing play. Now, normally Bismack does not have a high ceiling, right? He's being John Malkovich. But who's the backup center for Orlando? And I know one of you guys tweeted me, you guys wanted to play Zimmerman. You know, and sure, in a GBP, can you play anyone? I guess. But I didn't see that. But because Orlando really doesn't have a legitimate backup center. Bismack's the backup center. So he played 34 minutes, 14 points, 15 rebounds, 2 steals. He had 35 FanDuel points. Dream lover. He was great. He really was. Evan Fournier, he got there for us. It was a strong, he's a grind. He's now becoming one of the captains. He's already on the bumble stumble fumble team. He could be the captain. I don't think he will be, but he's trying to throw in his hat in the ring for that lovely honor. 34 minutes, 7 for 16 from the floor, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 18 points. Man, does he get off to slow starts? I swear to God, every time I roster him, I look at after the first quarter, 1 FanDuel point. 2 FanDuel points. I mean, Jesus. Luckily, he turned it on in the second half. I thought especially once Vucevic was out. I mean, they have no – the only people who can score for that team are Fournier, Terrence Ross, and Aaron Gordon. So – and that's what – and all three of those guys ended up with good games. So Fournier came through. He was a dream lover. Terrence Ross was excellent. He was especially a dream lover. He led Orlando with shooting, 18 shots, 8 for 18 from the floor, 4 of 10 from three-point range, 20 points, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 1 assist, 4 rebounds. And that's the thing. Like, he's playing – Vogel loves him. I don't know why, but he does. Probably because Orlando needs scoring. He's getting all the shots in the world, all the minutes in the world, and you're seeing like him fill up a statue because remember, he is super athletic. So if he's on a court, he's just stumbling into other stats. So this is not the first time since he's been on Orlando where he's stumbling into some steals and some blocks and some rebounds and some assists. So if his shot's falling, he can put up a monster line. Now, I saw his salary go up a lot for Monday, but he's still going to be in play, especially if Vucevic's out. Aaron Gordon, he was we need a term for what's not a dream killer or a dream lover. He was okay. He was just average. 15 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. He was good. Not great. For Washington, John Wall, he's a dream killer for me. He did okay, but every game the guy shoots 6 for 17 or 6 for 19 or 6 for 22. And he did again. He was 6 for 17 in this game, 19 points, 10 assists. The problem with Wall is he's so expensive these days. He needs like 20 assists to hit value. And he did not hit that. So Bledsoe and Isaiah became much better plays. So Wall didn't come through for me. Bradley Beal did, though. And Bradley Beal has been extraordinary since the All-Star break, even a little bit before then. And he just got off to a good start in this game. And then he went out he turned his ankle. Luckily, he came back in. I ended up with 32 points, 12 for 21 from the floor. Three rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. I say it every game. Instead of Wall wasting 17 shots, why can't he give some more shots to Otto Porter, who's a really good shooter? Give some more shots to Bradley Beal. Give some more shots to Markieff Morris. Any of those guys. Gortat got 3 shots. 3 freaking shots. Gortat's usage rate is like 12%. I think Otto Porter is like 15%. Those guys just don't get enough shots. Markieff got 9 shots. The one guy who was a dream lover, who if you played him, show me a screenshot of your lineup because I don't believe you. Hashtag Bogdanovich from his Brooklyn days, now can't miss on Washington. I mean, and he was getting wide open looks. Now, that's some of that. He's not playing with Whitehead. spin little, spin doodle, crack woodle, whatever that guy, Brooklyn point guards are. Now he's playing with Wall. So he's getting wide open looks. He shot 9 of 12, 8 of 10 from 3-point range, 27 points. He was phenomenal down the stretch for what he's why Washington won that game. Dream lover for Bogdanovic, which is a scary thing. Utah Sacramento. So now these games I didn't watch. So I'm just going to be like roto trash. Oh, this game was great, man. It went to overtime. And I saw really some good things here. Ronnie Hood was extraordinary. 28 Vandal points. I called this too, by the way. I called it going into it. I knew he was going to have a good game. I knew it. 28 points, 10 of 17 from the floor, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. That was my play of the day. Yeah. Right, that's what Roto Trash does. But no, Rodney Hood, he was like 1% owned, and he did go nuts. And if you listen to my podcast with Andy Larson, the Utah Jazz beat writer, he basically said, breakout player second half of the season, Rodney Hood. Now, did I see this coming? No, because Rodney Hood was out the last couple games, so I thought he was going to play probably like 12 minutes because God only knows what he's dealing with, what kind of injuries he's dealing with. But if you played him, congrats, because it worked out. Rudy Gobert, he was the dream lover supreme. I saw Bismack in some winning GPP lineups, but I also saw Rudy Gobert in the lineups that had the monster scores. And another thing that Andy mentioned on the podcast I did with him, which you guys can go listen to, it's up on iTunes, on Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. He talked about how good Rudy Gobert is in the pick and roll. And if you watch this like late in the game, how some of the pick and rolls that George Hill or Gordon Hayward were running with Rudy Gobert, man, he's a pretty phenomenal pick and roll player. But he also had 24 rebounds, so that will do it. So a monster game for him. Now, going into this slate, if you would have told me that Utah Sacramento was going to have a higher over-under than Phoenix Boston, I would have said, go F yourself, because that's not going to happen. But it did. And that's what makes you crazy about DFS, right? This game went to overtime on a small slate. When a game goes to overtime, a couple guys are going to be in winning GPP lineups. So the overtime for me was a killer because I faded this game entirely. I just pretended like it was a 4-game slate, and it didn't work out for me. For Sacramento, no one else for Utah did anything that great. Gordon Hayward, again, just he bumbles, stumble, fumbles to, what, 35, 40 fandom points, or not even, or right around there. But it's not enough. Not enough. For Sacramento, a follow was pretty good, which just sickens me. 40 minutes for a follow. I mean, come on. Willie Cauley-Stein was really good again. 15 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block, 3 assists, 39 minutes. The cool thing for Sacramento is everyone got big minutes. And that's if you're playing DFS, that's what you want to see. Kufis, 37 minutes. And believe it or not, he was good. 12 points, 10 rebounds. Cauley-Stein, already mentioned him, 39 minutes. Darren Collison, 41 minutes. 18 points, 5 assists, 1 steal for him. Ty Lawson, 37 minutes, got the start. So the Kings are also playing 2 midges in their lineups, basically starting 3 guards. Collison had a good game, 19 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. So going forward, these Sacramento guys are going to be in play if they're getting that many freaking minutes. Surprisingly, Steph Curry Jr., Buddy Hield, only got 19 minutes. Why you would trade for someone you think is Steph Curry and then play a follow 40 minutes and Buddy Hield 19 minutes? If you can, someone can explain that to me. I'd love to hear it. All right, Dallas, OKC. For OKC, pretty much everyone put up an absolute I was going to swear. I'm not going to swear and just say it was a dud. It was a bums everywhere. Westbrook, I love the usage. It just didn't come through. Shot 8 of 24, so it's not going to get it done. When he's that one, and only 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 29 actual points. When he's 13.4K, he had to give you like 65 Fando points on this slate, which I still thought he could do, but just didn't work out for him. Steven Adams, he's so dirt cheap on DraftKings. I don't know if any of you guys been paying attention. He was down to like 5.2K on DraftKings. So he actually is the one guy who did come through on DraftKings. 19 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. The second that I saw Dirk starting, I did have a couple lineups with Steven Adams. Because if Dirk is playing the 5, whoever's the opposing center, just play him. Just put him in. At least one lineup. Other than that, though, everyone else for the OKC was horrible. I mean, Doug McDermott keeps getting tons of minutes. He keeps shooting bad every game. You got 35 minutes, 3 of 9. If you're playing 35 minutes, make some damn shots. What are you doing? For Dallas, Seth Curry was good again. He's better than his brother right now in terms of shooting. Shot 10 of 16, 22 actual points. He's better than Devin Booker. He was okay. But really, really, no one was a dream lover for Dallas either. People were just okay. Pelicans, Lakers. So, of course, I mean, there's been a bunch of guys this year who I've watched play the worst game you could ever envision watching a human being play. It happened to me three months ago, I saw Frank Kaminsky. And Frank Kaminsky had about a 4 or 5 game stretch where he couldn't make a shot. And he lost all of his confidence. And there was one game I'll never forget in particular where he was dirt cheap. He was starting because they were dealing with injuries. I think Zeller was out or someone was out. So he was going to get 30-plus minutes. But he became scared to shoot. I remember one play down the court, he missed a layup. The next time down, he was wide open for a layup. Kemba looked at him and didn't pass him the ball because he was so disgusted with Kaminsky. And I remember that game, Frank Kaminsky, I think he had me like one FanDuel point in like 29 minutes or something like that. And after that, I think all of us, because he was pretty chalky that night too. And then all of us on Twitter were never playing Kaminsky again. No, never. Worst player ever. And this is, again, this goes into the black and white thinking, right? So it was, and I'm not doing it justice because a guy could not have looked more lost on the court. What did Kaminsky do the next game out? 40 FanDuel points. And he was in every winning GPP lineup. Fast forward to what? Last week. Who's a similar guy? Let's hear it. You guys know who I'm going to say. John Luer, right? If you guys were watching any of the Pistons game, John Luer had a stretch where it was horrifying. And then, of course, all because Detroit had a bunch of injuries, he became super chalky. His price was he was like close to the minimum. So a lot of us played him. He went like 0 for 8 from the field. If you're watching the game, he couldn't make a shot. He looked lost. He had no confidence. He looked like he wouldn't even be in the D League. Shouldn't he be in the YMCA League? He looked an absolute mess. So we all said, oh, and I even have a sign that we'll never play John Luer. So we all said, we're never playing him again. Horrible, horrible, horrible. What do you do the next game? 40 FanDuel points. He was in every winning GPP lineup. You see a theme here? So what happened on Friday night? Who was pretty chalky? Brandon Ingram. I think he was like 30% owned because he's like the dirt minimum. He's getting like 35, 40 plus minutes. He's the only young guy that Luke Walton will just play regardless of what happens. He'll play a ton of minutes these days. And Brandon Ingram, granted, some of it was foul trouble. He had 5 fouls and, you know, early in the third quarter. But I think he had, what, 1 FanDuel point, 2 FanDuel points? I don't remember what it was. Maybe he got 4? It was horrible. He looked lost. No confidence, couldn't make a shot. I think he only took one shot. I think he took one shot the entire freaking game. So what do we all say? We're never playing Brandon Ingram again, yada, yada, yada. So Brandon Ingram tonight, what did he do? Not 40 FanDuel points, but he gave you 30 FanDuel points. And why? You ask, why, Judge? Why does that happen to us? Because it's DFS and life is cruel. That's why. But it just goes in. I mean, some of it is just kind of common sense, right? If you make the NBA, you got to be pretty – you're one of the top, 0.00001% of the best NBA players in the world, right? So you're a really good player, even the worst guys. So it makes sense you have some pride. So when you're coming off of horrendous, horrendous games, you're going to bounce back. Almost every player does eventually. So even though that's why you can never say, I'm never going to play someone after they have a horrendous game. And now was Ingram a great play tonight? No, but if you're a multi-entry tournament player, you should have had Ingram in one of your lineups because of recency bias, no one else wants to roster that bum after what he's been doing to us. But if you've been playing DFS long enough, you also know that's exactly why if you're a tournament player, you have to put him in one lineup. And you can ask yourself. Are you built to play tournaments? Because if you don't have the guts, and trust me, it does take guts because no one wants to hit that button on a guy who cost you a lot of money a couple days ago. But to play tournaments, you need to be willing to take the risk to put in guys who have cost you a lot of money. That's how you take down tournaments ultimately. Because as I always say, you need to differentiate. The easiest way to do it is based on recency bias. Who's the guy who's coming off a horrible game? And you still knew Ingram is going to get all the minutes in the world. Now, the Pelicans are not a good defensive team. So Ingram did well and probably pissed off a lot of us. Fat gravy juice, Julius Randle, only took 7 shots, but he was good. 5 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. D'Angelo Russell, not good enough. Only shot 7 of 20, but I love the usage rate. So going forward, I think he's going to win people money these last 20 games or so. 16 points, 7 assists, 2 steals, 6 turnovers also hurt if you played him. Stupid Nick Young did well. If you played him, you probably did okay. What was weird is that the Lakers, Zubac was ruled out. So I took a flyer on some Larry Nance Jr. That didn't work out. 20 minutes, 4 points, 5 rebounds. Tarik Black, that didn't work out. 17 minutes, 5 points, 6 rebounds. So really, it was Randall and Ingram were only really the two main guys, and maybe some Russell. Clarkson also was okay, not great. 24 minutes for Jordan Clarkson, 14 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. For the Pelicans, you know, going into it on a 5-game slate, you can attack the Lakers. So I actually liked going with playing all three, a Holiday, Cousins, Anthony Davis lineup. I saw people make money with that lineup, with that roster construction on Sunday. Holiday was good, 36 minutes. If you're playing Holiday these days, the usage rate's not going to be there. So you need him to get assists. He got 12 assists, and that's the reason why he was so good. 20 points, 12 assists, 3 steals, 36 minutes. Davis and Cousins were both excellent again. I think Boogie only got 31 minutes because he fouled out, but he 26 points, 15 rebounds, 2 assists for him. Anthony Davis, 31 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Both those guys, I mean, the Pelicans truly are a 3-person team. They got 3 freaking guys. So that's why you still can play those guys every night right now. We'll see what their prices kind of where they end up going forward. But right now, Davis and Cousins are like 10K. And that's very fair price for those guys. All right, that's the slate. That is the slate. Where are we? Let's get out of that.
Yeah.
All right. So, as I mentioned on this slate, we have 12 games on Monday. It's a lot of games. Too many games, if you ask me. What does that mean? Remember, the slate dictates what we do. What city are we in? We're not in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We're not where I'm from on Monday. We're in Melbourne. And this is a hard one because last time I mentioned the city Melbourne in Australia. And surprisingly, DG Corum has a lot of Australia listeners. I think like 5% of our audience is based in Australia, which is pretty cool. So last time I mentioned – I think I mentioned Melbourne is one of the top cities in the world if you're a single person looking for, you know, an attractive mate. And I got lots of feedback because let me tell you something. If I ever mispronounce a word, say the wrong player, say the wrong coach, I hear it from all of you. The tweets, emails, DMs, they all come in. So a lot of you told me I was mispronouncing Melbourne. So I Googled it because this is the things that the judge does for you listeners. And this is what I found. I'm reading – this is a direct quote from Google. When you look at the world – when you look at the – well, I should say word. When you look at the word Melbourne, it looks like it should come out Melbourne. As someone who lived in Melbourne, Australia for 2 years, hearing that is just wrong. The Australian way to pronounce Melbourne is more like Melbourne. So, and I will ask you, Australia listeners. So that doesn't sound right to me though, but I don't know. I'm not from there. Is it really Melbourne? So all along, when I've been saying like Melbourne or Melbourne, whatever I've been saying, that's wrong. And really the correct pronunciation is Melbourne. I don't know. So people, whoever's from Australia, whoever can tell me that, please let me know because I need to know how to pronounce it. But either way, we're in Australia. We're in Melbourne because on 12 games, there's beautiful people everywhere. Every position, point guard, lovely ladies. Shooting guard, lovely fellas. Every position, you don't have to settle. Good players, every spot. Also, before we jump into the injury news and the games, I want to note, currently RotoTrash is doing this single entry series, which most of you guys, if you play a lot of DFS, maybe you probably heard of. So I've gotten a lot of questions because they're doing this single entry series and they have $1 tournaments on FanDuel and sponsored by FanDuel. So it's $1 contest, then $5 one week. And every week they change the entry fee. They had a $20, $25. Then they had $100. Now they have a $50 this week. Now, they know damn well that 85 to 90% of the people playing DFS, and studies have shown this, should not be playing contests with that high of an entry fee. So why they'd sponsor a contest and have a single entry series, forcing, not forcing, but basically coercing, urging you to play this $50 entry fee tournament each day of the week, this coming week, to me is another shameful thing that they're doing. Not surprising, because that's what they do. They're sponsored by FanDuel or DraftKings, all these sites, and they're going to tell you to play contests at that they shouldn't tell you to play. Now, my advice to you, now, if you want to play that, great. Like I enter the $50 single entry tournament all the time. It's called the Swish. I like the size. It's a cool contest to enter. But stick to your bankroll management. If that tournament is not in your budget, don't play it just to be a part of the single entry series. Don't be suckered in by these guys. If you can play it and money's not an object, go ahead. Then you know, obviously, fine. I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money. I just want to say, remember, yeah, bankroll management, you have that for a reason. You have a budget for a reason, right? So don't be spending your money to play in this stupid single entry series. Don't be spending your rent money, I should say. All right, back to Mel Bunn and the 12-game glorious slate. So Vucevic is questionable with right Achilles. Okafor is questionable. So if those two guys are out for Orlando, Bismack again, even though it's a 12-game slate, there's no backup center for Orlando. So Bismack should be a good play. Also, it makes the other guys good plays. It makes Fournier, Ross, and Gordon in play again as well. For Philly, Saric, Covington, and Holmes become intriguing. Beasley's from Milwaukee looks like he's still out with a left knee injury. Middleton's been great. For the Bulls, Rondo and Wade are both questionable. Man, if they're out, just click Jimmy Butler as fast as you can. His usage rate's going to be close to 40%. Frank the Tank Kaminsky is questionable for Charlotte. So Zeller, Marvin Williams coming off a good game, believe it or not. Those guys in play. And then Joe Johnson dealing with a groin issue. All right, let's take a little flight to Vegas, shall we? I don't know if you guys can hear that. Can you hear that? There's a plane sound effect. Let's do it again. Ah. I mean, after all, we were in Melbourne. Melbourne. So we had to fly back to Vegas real quick. So there's no game that jumps out in terms of over-under that I want to attack, which is weird for 12 games late. You'd think there'd be one that would be extra juicy, and there's not. There's a bunch of games that are good. Nothing great, though. I mean, Houston-San Antonio is the highest overrunner of the day, and any game featuring San Antonio makes me shudder in fear. Now, this will be a fun game to watch. Houston's been blowing everyone out, jacking up threes. So finally, we're going to be able to see a team actually defend them properly. Because every time I watch Houston play, I scream at the freaking TV, guard the three-point line. You know what they're going to do. Like, anything inside the three-point line is freaking quicksand. If Ryan Anderson steps inside the three-point line, he melts into the court. He dies. It's over. It's like the never-ending story. It's like the saddest scene in movie history. Whenever that horse, if you guys ever, by the way, you should Google the scene, YouTube the scene. If you don't cry at this scene, you are not human. I think Arturo, whatever his guy's name is, he's dragging his, spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't seen this movie, he's dragging his horse, who is like his best friend. It'd be like me dragging the bailiff across, you know, this desert, and they come across quicksand, and the horse starts, you know, he goes into the quicksand, and there's just nothing you can do. And it's just the saddest scene ever. And it lasts for like 10 minutes, this poor horse, and he's trying to get him out, but the horse, you know, weighs like 10 tons. That's Ryan Anderson. Think of that movie. Think of that scene. He can't step inside the 3-point line. He becomes, it's a quicksand in there. Ariza too. So finally, it'd be fun to watch a team actually defend the 3-point line. I mean, dear God, I wouldn't, if I was playing Houston, I wouldn't let them jack up 53s. I'd force them to make twos, which they can't do because they're allergic to that. Anyway, that game's got 220 over under. Kings at Denver, 219 over under. We just mentioned all the Kings guys playing big minutes. So maybe we attack the Kings playing way up in pace. Maybe that was a little foreshadowing by the judge. Maybe we make some money off some Sacramento guys on this slate. Boston Clippers, 216 over under. That was the real reason why Boston held out their guys tonight. They held out Horford and Avery Bradley because they thought they were going to have an easy win against Phoenix, and then they lost. So, you know, joke's on you, Boston. If they end up not winning the one seed by one game, because they rested, you know, they rested Bradley and Horford because they thought they're going to beat Phoenix. That would suck. But that's a nice game though. 216 over under there. Miami Cleveland in a home and home. Cleveland's only favored by 8 right now. LeBron and Kyrie rested last game. They should come back and they should blitz Miami. Golden State Atlanta. This is intriguing. The over under is only 215. And this shows you the Durant effect, right? I mean, Golden State, how many times this year have we seen them with over, like under a 220 in terms of an over under 220? I don't ever remember it. Maybe against a Memphis or against a Utah. But 215 over under for that game seems low to me. Brooklyn, Memphis, or Memphis. It seems like Memphis is playing way up in pace every game. It seems like they've been playing Brooklyn or Phoenix or every day of the week lately. The only nasty game that I want to avoid is Pelicans Jazz 197 over under, and just because it's got Boogie and AD for tournaments, I like those guys. Cash games though, it's probably a game I will fade. Bulls Pistons. Normally I would fade that game probably for cash games, but if Butler's out, if Wade and Rondo are out, opens up some value there. So, and I will like Butler in cash games. I can tell you that. So I mean, it's basically every game is decent, but nothing. There's really no game that I'm like, ooh, I want to stack the hell out of that. Which is rare. Teams playing up in pace. So Memphis way up against Brooklyn. The problem with them is just Conley and Gasol are just overpriced. So maybe some of their other guys in that team. Atlanta playing way up in pace against Golden State. I don't understand why the over-under is so low. Spurs playing way up in pace against Houston. So Kawhi is another monster game for Kawhi. Has been playing Kawhi's last week or so. Kawhi may be the best player in the NBA. The Bucks playing up pace against Philly. That's about it for pace. So nothing really great in terms of pace either on this slate. All right, let's hop into the plays. So in terms of just stars on this slate, no Westbrook. We got Harden, 11.9K, AD, 11.2, LeBron, 11K, Giannis, 10.8K. I don't know why his price is not dropping. That makes me angry. Towns, 10.4K. Those are the guys over 10K or so. And let's start off at point guard. So Isaiah, that's not right. I clicked on the wrong button, my bad. All right, so point guard Steph Curry, 10.5K. So Curry's price now, because Durant's out, has been jacked up, but rightfully so. Curry has about a 36-37% usage rate without Durant. That's phenomenal. He's jacking up 25 shots basically a night without Durant. Now he gets one of my favorite point guards to attack, Dennis Schroeder defense. I'm pretty sure I tweeted out a picture from Sunday when Paul George was being guarded by Dennis Schroeder. It was the easiest layup. He just went right around him for the layup. It was sickening to watch. And we saw Kyrie Irving play Dennis Schroeder on Friday, right? Or on, what was that? I think it was Friday or Saturday. And Kyrie put up 66 FanDuel points. So now Steph Curry gets Dennis Schroeder defense. 10.5K is expensive. Do you need to do it? No, but is he in an elite spot? Yeah. So, and he's shooting has not been great. He had a decent game against the Knicks, shot a little bit better at 50 FanDuel points. At his price, that's what we need. We need 50 and 55 FanDuel points. If you want to play him and take down a tournament, you're going to need like 65, 70. Could he do it against Atlanta? If he gets 25 shots against Dennis Schroeder, yeah, he could. So elite tournament play. He's safe for all formats, but because we're in Melbourne, you don't have to force it into a cash game. But love the matchup. Kyrie is 9.4K against Miami in a slowdown game. He's going to be rested. He's fine. I'm not a fan of the pace of this game. Also, Cleveland should blow them out. But you can do it. Again, it's usage rate, right? I love usage rate. Without Love, his usage rate's like 36%. It's right around there. Maybe a little bit higher. Maybe like 37, 38%. So Steph and Irving are both good plays. If you want to play Irving and save 1.1K, it's fine. The one thing I will say is Kyrie's going to get some guys like Josh Richardson, Tyler Johnson. Those guys are decent defenders. Whereas Irving is going to get – or Curry's going to get Dennis Schroeder. I mean, unless if Atlanta – maybe Atlanta will try to put a guy like Cephalosha on Curry and try to use other guys as well. I'm sure they'll use other guys on Curry. Isaiah Thomas, 9.3K. Yeah, not a fan of this on a back-to-back. He's going to get Chris Paul defense. And he's a one-trick pony. And he got you 47 FanDuel points. on a 5-game slate on Sunday, and that was enough to win tournaments. But the slate dictates what we do. He scored 35 actual points on Sunday. So if he does that again on Monday, which I don't think he will, but he could, and he puts up 48 FanDuel points, that's not going to be enough to take down a tournament. It's just not going to be. The ceiling is not going to be there on Monday. Now, is he still somewhat safe for cash games? Yeah, the floor is fine. Chris Paul is cheaper, though. And Chris Paul is going up against Isaiah Thomas, who can't defend a freaking toenail. Literally, if a toenail was playing and he was the minimum, I would play the toenail against Isaiah Thomas' defense. So Chris Paul is in an elite spot, safe for all formats. I love Chris Paul on the slate. I love teaming up a Chris Paul and a Blake, a Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, because you can attack Boston bigs as well. So, yeah, Chris Paul, and if you play Chris Paul, use some smart correlation thinking and team Chris Paul up with someone from the Clippers. Damian Lillard has been good lately. Judy Dench has decided he wants to play since the All-Star break. Maybe he's been well-rested because he's been four straight games now over 40 FanDuel points. Now the prices come up. To me, single entry tournaments only, but I don't mind it. It's a nice contrarian pivot move off of a guy like Steph, Irving, Chris Paul. Kemba Walker's 8.2K. Charlotte's is finally back home after this long, 6-game road trip, where Kemba was excellent. Sometimes I'm a little nervous about playing teams when they come back home after a long trip. Sometimes the team just always has a big letdown for some reason. I've never been able to figure this one out. It's some weird psychological thing. Similar to like when a guy gets two fouls in the first quarter, he never comes back to hit value. That worries me a little bit. Otherwise, Kemba, he's been really good. The usage rate's been great. He's the only guy for Charlotte that can score right now consistently. Batum's been a Magic Mountain player for whatever reason. So Kemba is okay. 5-game slate, I would like it a lot more. 12-game slate, eh. Mike Conley, I don't know what to say. I mean, his price went down a little bit, I think, which is good. He's fine. He just a nice, safe play. Against Houston, 43 FanDuel points. Phoenix, 44 FanDuel points. Denver, 46 FanDuel points. That's all in the last week, so I was right. They keep playing teams up in pace. So Conley's probably going to get you around 40 FanDuel points. Is that fine for cash games? Yes, it is. Is that good enough to take down a tournament? I don't know. So Drew Holiday, so he gets Utah. Yeah, not feeling that one. So even though, I'm trying to envision if he could be in the winning GPP lineup, and I can't see it. I really can't. Goran Dragic, 7.5K. I do like attacking Kyrie Irving defense, so this would be an interesting little stack to play Kyrie Irving and Dragic, your two guards. The one thing that's a little – the minutes have been a little uneasy for me for Dragic because now they are fully healthy. So they got Dragic, Waiters, Richardson, and Tyler Johnson. Now, last game was a blowout, so I'm not going to use that. But he's a guy, to me, doesn't have monster upside, so it's okay. Jeff Teague, 7.3K. Yeah, another guy. Fine, more of a cash game play to me, not really a tournament play. But another decent game you could stack. We want to stack this Indiana-Charlotte game, play a little Kemba, Jeff Teague, and then hope that game goes to overtime. That could work out for you. That's how you win. I mean, you need wacky things like that to happen, take down tournaments. Ricky Rubio, 6.9K. So he gets Judy Dench defense. Lillard's another guy I love to attack. Rubio's quietly been playing pretty well. Had a triple-double last game out against the Spurs. 44 FanDuel points against the Spurs. How many of you guys played him against the Spurs? Shut up. You did not. I don't believe you. I think I had him in one lineup out of 15 that night. But he's not cheap. So he only had he had 43 FanDuel points that night. And that's what? That's basically what he needs to do. So it's okay. I don't love that either. If I play him, though, again, I will use my correlation methods, and I will obviously team up with a Wiggins or a Towns, because if you're playing him, you need him to get 10, 15 assists. The criminal, if you want to go to prison, I went to prison over the weekend, and Derrick Rose was fine. He's become a really nice cash game play. He's getting tons of minutes. He's the same Derrick Rose. He'll show flashes. He's going to score some actual points, and he'll do nothing else. You'll watch the game. You'll swear at him because he won't pass the Porzingis. And he'll get like 30 FanDuel points. So he's quite honestly, he's okay. And he gets Elfrid Payton defense. So he's fine. The upside is not tremendous, but he's okay. He's also an absolute buffoon. every day he has a new quote in the paper that makes no sense. The last couple of days have been, I'm going to start shooting threes in the playoffs. He actually said that. They're not going to make the playoffs. Derek, hello, you're like 12th in the East right now, you idiot. Also, you mentioned he doesn't like the triangle, but he guesses he has to play it. Okay. Yeah, Derek, you have to play it. Like, you have to show up for games. Oops, you didn't have to show up because you went AWOL earlier this year. What an idiot. Dennis Schroeder, he gets Steph Curry defense. This is a nice little stack. I like stacking a Schroeder-Curry lineup. Schroeder's not a guy you can trust, though, in cash games, so he's mostly a tournament play only these days. George Hill, you can attack Pelicans guard. So, I mean, the problem here is a back-to-back. He played 40 minutes on Sunday, so the back-to-back worries me a little bit. Hill's been dealing with foot issues basically the whole season. So, not cheap. I don't love the play. Then you got guys like Tyler Johnson, 5.8K. He'll be fine. The problem is, if this was a five-game slate, I'd like him a lot more. I just don't – it's hard to envision him taking down a tournament with me on a 12-game slate. Alfred Payton, I do like this. Now, could I envision him being in the winning GPP lineup? Yeah, I could, because he has 40, 45 FanDuel point upside, and he gets the Knicks. So remember, if Vucevic's out, his usage rate goes up too. So 5.7K, very fair price tag to pay. Don't do it in cash games, but tournaments, Alfred Payton, I like that play. Darren Collison, I just mentioned, he got like 40 minutes on Sunday. So now he's playing way up in pace against Denver. Yeah, it's not a very fair price. Why not? I don't mind Darren Collison for some tournaments. Even in cash games, he's okay. Jameer Nelson, he stands in a corner these days. He's not involved in the offense at all. Oh, this next guy, very intriguing to the judge. Reggie Jackson's 5K. Yes, he's killed us all this year, but that's dirt cheap. What's his price on DraftKings? On DraftKings, it's 5K too. So he had the 28 FanDuel points last game. That's six times his salary, basically, in only 25 minutes. So if he gets hot, Stan Van will let him play some minutes. If he doesn't, then Ish Smith will get the minutes. But he's so cheap now. And the Bulls, who's going to be guarding him for Chicago? Rondo might not play. Grant? MCW? Cameron Payne, who weighs like 62 pounds? So Reggie Jackson, elite tournament play in this slate. Brogdon's 5K. The problem with Brogdon, the usage rate's not been great. The minutes have been good. Middleton's getting a lot of shots. But Brogdon at 5K is fine. I mean, for like very safe floor for Brogdon right now, 5K. I don't mind that. Ish Smith, 4.6K. Tournaments, you can throw him in there as well. I don't mind. He had 37 FanDuel points last game. He had 13 assists. So nice value play there, Ish Smith. Ty Lawson, 4.6K. I mean, look at all the value point guards tonight on Monday. So he played 37 minutes against Utah on Sunday. 28 FanDuel points. Actually, last three games, 28, 28, 26 FanDuel points. At that salary, that's seven times his salary. So, safe for all formats, Ty Lawson playing way up in pace against Denver. And it's a revenge game for Ty Lawson. So, I'll be doing a little bargain hunting at my point guards on Monday. Shooting guard, James Harden. He's fat. He likes Cheetos. He was good against Memphis, 57 FanDuel points. The sad thing is that's not enough. It's just not enough. Now, can you give me enough against the Spurs? It is the highest over-under of the day. You can, if you attack the Spurs, you can attack the guards. So if I play 10 lineups, he'll be in maybe two. Giannis. Man, he's been so passive. I watched the Bucks play. I scream at the TV. I don't understand, since Parker's been out, why he's not taking more shots. His usage rate's going in the wrong direction. Okay, Middleton, you're back. Take all the shots. So 10.8K, I wish his price was like 10K. For no one on Philly can guard him, but you can't do any cash games right now. CJ McCollum, 7.2K. If you want to play a one-trick pony, whatever. He's fine. Not much upside for him, but decent matchup. Klay Thompson, Klay 7K. On this slate, you can use a Curry, Klay. You can use them both. Remember, without Durant, Clay gets about a 6.5% usage bump. So his usage rate now is close to 30%. At that price, it's very fair. On DraftKings, he's 7.3K. So, yeah, he's fine for all formats. What do you do on Sunday? Yeah, he had 36 Fando points on Sunday. He's a one-trick pony. He had 29 actual points, 36 Fando points. That's about right for Clay. Nick Batum, 6.8K. So Batum, to me, these days, I'd rather probably play Clay in cash. Batum is more of a tournament guy. And again, I don't think he has a monster ceiling, but the price is okay. Dion Waiters, tournaments only. Nothing's been good about him in last week. I didn't play him when he had a stretch where he was on fire. I didn't play him then. I didn't play him last week when he's been horrible. Will he win someone a tournament at some point again this year? Probably. I'm not sure when. Let's see. Tim Hardaway Jr. is 5.5K. He went nuts last couple games, especially against Cleveland. He had 40 fandom points. Against Indiana, 23 fandom points. The minutes, about 35 minutes in both of those. So he's a guy. Could envision him being in the winning GPP lineup in a fast-paced game against Golden State? Yes, I could. Love him for tournaments. Cash games, hard guy to trust in cash games. Gary Harris, 5.4K. Just he's the one guy that I just can't get right. He's cost me so much money this year. Last week when I took second place in a GPP, the guy who took first had Gary Harris, and Gary Harris hit a three when Denver was up 30 on Brooklyn with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Gary Harris had, 25 actual points, 31 Fando points, was shooting every time he touched the ball, went nuts. And then against Charlotte over the weekend, he played 22 minutes, had a 4% usage rate. I think he took one shot, two Fando points. And I've watched Gary Harris play numerous times this year. Sometimes he stands in a corner the entire game and doesn't touch the ball ever. Other games, he's the most aggressive guy in the court. This is why NBA DFS is to me the hardest sport of all to play. It's just there's so much volatility and so much changes from game to game. So Gary Harris, to me, I can't trust it for cash games. The price is still fine. Playing way down in pace against Sacramento, you can't attack Sacramento guards. Remember, though, at the top of the show, what did I talk about? I talked about guys who were coming off the worst games I've ever seen, right? Kaminsky had one. John Luehr had one. Ingram had one. Gary Harris had one on Saturday. So does that mean I'm going to play him in at least one lineup on Monday? Hell yes, I will. Evan Fournier, he's going to find a way at 5.3K to bumble, stumble, and fumble his way into hitting value against the Knicks. So safe for all formats. KCP, Fournier would be more of a cash game guy. KCP's got a little higher of a ceiling. So more of a tournament guy, KCP. Eric Gordon, the price is fair. He's dropped down to 5K now. So it's going to jack up 7, 8, 9 threes. 26 Fando points last game. So I don't mind that. It's a very fair price for him. Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley's going to be back. So I don't think you need to play Marcus Smart on this slate. Then you got guys like Courtney Lee, Monte Ellis. I mean, remember, we're in Melbourne, so you don't have to enforce it. J.J. Redick, Josh Richardson. That's about it. LeVert. I want to play LeVert. He just doesn't get enough minutes. Now he plays Memphis on this slate too. LeVert, I might play LeVert in one or two lineups because he's just so cheap. All right, small forward LeBron, 11K. He's just been so good. I don't understand why he's so underowned on certain slates. So he's not rested, gets Miami. If you want to play him, I would say lock and load. The only issue is you have Kawhi Leonard, 9.2K, playing in the highest over-under of the night. And could Kawhi outscore LeBron? Yeah, he could. So I like LeBron or Kawhi. And then also you got Jimmy Butler. So, man, at the top of the three small forwards, man, elite plays, LeBron, Kawhi, and Jimmy Butler. If Rondo and Wade are out, to me, I know Butler's coming off a really bad game as well, but to me, I'm going to have to play Butler in cash. I guess I'd rank them Butler and then Kawhi versus Houston. He should smash. So, I mean, man, I can't believe I'm going to say this. As good as LeBron's been lately – but I probably would go Butler, Kawhi, and LeBron. That's my cash game rankings just based on price right now. And then all three in tournaments are great plays. LeBron becomes a really sneaky good tournament play again because everyone in the world, and rightfully so, is going to be playing Butler and Kawhi, especially Butler if Wade and Rondo are out. But all three of those great plays, man. Paul George, no one's going to play Paul George in this slate because I just mentioned the other three guys. So Paul George, one of the most frustrating guys to ever roster, 8K, whatever. Gordon Hayward, him and Paul George, both frustrating. They're both really talented. Gordon Hayward, at least I think, is trying these days. He just doesn't – they play at such a slow pace, it's hard for him to get fantasy points. Paul George is off dreaming about going to the Lakers in 2 years. Carmelo, king of Magic Mountain, 7.9K. I just don't love it. It's hard to envision me playing guys in that 7 to 8K range. I'm either going to play Butler, Leonard, LeBron, and then or you know maybe play one of those guys or both. Spend up, you know, I might just spend up at both my small forward spots on FanDuel, and on DraftKings I can use maybe a couple small forwards. Otherwise, I'm probably going to go some value plays, and I'm not going to waste money on stupid Paul George or Gordon Hayward or Melo. Even Wiggins, 7.9K. Do I really want to play an Andrew Wiggins? Not really on this slate. Covington, again, not really a huge fan based on just this slate in general. He's okay. Gallinari is another guy I love. He stumbles and fumbles his way into value. End of the game, you'll look up. You'll have 30 FanDuel points. You won't know how he did it, but he did. Wilson Chandler. Denver's playing so much down in pace. I'm not a huge fan of the Denver guys in this slate. Chris Middleton, 5.6K. That I don't mind. Usage has been great. He's been playing excellent. The shots are there. The minutes are right around 30, 32. He's going to be over 6K in the next week. So, yeah, take advantage on him right now. Very fair price. At least he is on FanDuel. Let me see what he is on DraftKings. On DraftKings, he'll probably be more expensive because DraftKings does a better job pricing. On DraftKings, he is. Well, that's great. I can't find him. How is he not here? Unbelievable. Sometimes I hate the world. God, it's 4:30. I'm tired and I can't find freaking Middleton on DraftKings. All right, whatever. Just trust me. He'll probably be more expensive on DraftKings. Ariza. Tournaments only, more Harkless. I don't mind this. Just Harkless has been so consistent lately. I think I did it on my short 10-minute video on Saturday. I said, does Harkless have the upside to win a tournament? You know, I thought his ceiling was about 30. He got to 35, and I think I saw him in some winning tournament lineups. So that's his, like, max ceiling. But some days, I guess, that can be enough. Now, is that going to be enough on a 12-game slate? Hard to envision it, but great cash game play. Just, man, at that price, just such a beautiful cash game play. Then you got guys like the Bazemore, Terrence Ross. I mean, dear God, Terrence Ross is still 4.5K. Why did his price not go up? Just, dear God. On DraftKings, he's 5.7K. That makes sense. And you know what? On DraftKings, you still can probably play him. Because Orlando, if Vucevic's out, they have no one to score. So, man, Terrence Ross, elite play of Vucevic's out, especially on FanDuel at that price. Hollis Jefferson. All right, that's about it. Power forward. Hold on, let me get some water. Oh, my voice is hoarse. I feel like it's been a long show. I'm exhausted. Man. These shows are I feel like they're getting more grueling. I feel like I'm an NBA player. Season's long. It's a grind. Some podcasts, maybe I'm gonna have like a 4 FanDuel point night coming up. Maybe that in this show I did. I don't know. And maybe I'm a dream killer. Or am I a dream lover? I feel like this show's been okay though. I don't know. I feel like I'm hitting value on this show so far. But man, it's a grind. Jesus. Woo! All right, Anthony Davis, 11.2K. Against Utah, tournaments only. I mean, it's gonna be hard. Jokic, 9.9K. So if there is a guy for Denver I would like, it's probably gonna be Jokic. Because from Sacramento, we saw Sacramento get destroyed on Sunday night, their bigs. Who's going to guard him? Willie Cauley-Stein or Kufis, right? So the problem with Jokic since the All-Star break, he hasn't really put up a monster number. He's given you 50 a couple times, but that's what he needs to give you. Remember, that you can't get excited if he gets 50. You basically have to like nod your head, like, okay, good, you know, and you move on. So is he going to be, are you going to be doing jumping jacks with a 60 Fandles, you know, 70 Fandle point night with Jokic? I don't know. But he's in a good, I like the matchup. Blake Griffin, I mentioned that I love attacking Boston bigs. You guys know that. So he has not been great. I've used him a lot since All-Star break. The last two games, he was actually forcing me to break a gavel a couple games ago. So I wish he was cheaper, but I'll use him a little bit in tournaments. Draymond Green, 8.2K. That's a fair price for him. So, again, not a guy with high usage. So if I'm playing him, he's going to need to get me assists. So it doesn't make sense to only play a Draymond Green from Golden State. Use some correlation. Play Draymond with a Clay, with a Curry. Paul Millsap. I wish Millsap had a higher usage rate. I really do. I love watching Millsap play. I think that he's one of the guys in real life. He's much better than he is in fantasy. He's like a Marcus Smart that way. Very fair price. But he's got a disgusting usage rate of 24-25% because Dennis Schroeder and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Bazemore, even some Dwight Howard, they jack up a lot of shots. Up in pace, though, you know, he's going to give Golden State fits. So for tournaments, I like it. I like this. The more I think, I like this game is like a little mini stack. I think the over-unders, I think it's a, the over-unders not right. I think Vegas got that one wrong. It's going to be faster paced than Vegas thinks. Dario Saric, 7.4K. He's Philly's best player right now. So I don't mind that one bit, save for all formats. Porzingis against Orlando, 6.7K. Yeah, why not? He had 47 FanDuel points last game on Sunday against Golden State. Last three games have been pretty good. Still very fair price. He's got big upside. The problem is Derrick Rose and Carmelo playing isolation ball. How high is the upside? I don't know. But I just hope, man, I pray every day when I wake up, I pray that Derrick, I mean, see an injury news, Derrick Rose out for the year. Goes AWOL. Melo shut down. And I think Melo will be shut down once the Knicks get out of playoff contention. So Porzingis is going to win us tournaments these last 20 games at some point. Is he going to on Monday? I don't know. I'll play him a little bit, though. Zebo, he'll stumble, bumble, and fumble his way into against Brooklyn to close to 30, I think. But he's not cheap. Tobias Harris. These Pistons guys are just – Detroit may be a team I hate watching play the most. They're hard to get right because you never know when Tobias Harris is going to go off. If you tell me, you know, you don't, because no one does. He had 37 FanDuel points last game against Philly. It just, whatever. So the price is fair. It's okay. Trevor Booker, 5.2K, not against Brooklyn, not against Memphis. Not a fan of that. Aaron Gordon. Yeah, I really do. If Vucevic is out, I just don't understand how the Orlando guys, Aaron Gordon's too cheap. He's going to give you 30 FanDuel points. He's going to hit six times the salary. Marvin Williams. So with Frank the Tank out, he was really good. He had 36 FanDuel points last game. That's unbelievable. He had 12 rebounds, 14 points. He'll be still, so whatever. On a five-game slate, it'd be a good play. On a 12-game slate, it's just like blah. He'll probably find a way to get you there. Thaddeus Young, he's kind of has vanished lately. He had a little stretch where he kind of resurfaced, and then lately, no, everything's been down. Minutes have been down. Numbers have been down. I'm not exactly sure why. He's now 5K. Maybe I'm going to do some research on some Indiana guys. I don't know why is he not getting minutes, but he's not. Ryan Anderson does better on the road than he does at home. He's on the road. He's 4.9K. He's dirt cheap. What did he do last game at home? 4 FanDuel points. What did he do the game before that? 34. Ryan Anderson, king of the Magic Mountain team. So, can't do it in cash games. Tournaments? Sure. Willie Cauley-Stein. Ooh-wee. 4.9K. Too cheap. Too cheap for Willie Cauley-Stein, who's going to get – he could get 35 minutes again. So, it's tough to say safe for all formats, but especially tournaments, yeah. Elite playing tournaments. Sacramento's playing way up in pace. He thrives, and he's super athletic. He thrives in that tempo, in a fast tempo game. Like I was shocked that he did as well as he did on Sunday against Utah, playing slow. So if he can get you 36 FanDuel points in a slow pace game, you know, what can you do against Denver? Put up a big line. That's what he could do. Our favorite player, John Lure, Channing Frye, Holmes. If Okafor is out, Holmes is a good play at that price. Bobby Portis, yeah. Man, why is his price doesn't go up either? He's been great. If he's 4.4K. Yeah, the minutes have been somewhat of an issue with Bobby Portis, but I don't mind that for tournaments. All right, that's about it. Center, let's move on to center. Towns, 10.4K. So if you play DFS, you know that you attack Portland bigs. Now, you attack them at power forward more so than center. Now, Gorgui Dieng's their power forward. Gorgui Dieng is sleeping on the court these days. So do I really want to play some Gorgui frickin' Dieng? Which I didn't even mention. I think so little of him these days. These 5.5K, by the way, Gorgui Dieng. You can if you want. Towns, though, he's fine. I can't do it in cash because right now I don't have the money. Cousins against Utah. Tournaments, it's going to be fun to watch Cousins go up against Gobert. Last time he played Gobert this year, let's see. I don't see it here. I don't remember. I don't think he did well. So not a huge fan of tournaments. Okay. Whiteside against Cleveland. Whiteside's just too big for Triscuit. Cleveland does not have a legitimate center. I mean, Tristan Thompson, he's like 6'8". And then what, Channing Frye's their backup center? So Whiteside was – I played him a lot I think on Friday or Saturday whenever the Cavs rested Kyrie and LeBron. He was on pace to crush value, and then Miami blew them out, so he didn't play in the fourth. So at that price, if he can get big minutes – I like him for tournaments. Andre Drummond, it's cost me a lot of money this year. He never plays more than 32 minutes a night because he just can't. Stan Van does not like to use him late in games because they just will follow him. With that said, really good matchup here against the Bulls. The Bulls have all year long. I mean, Robin Lopez, man, he's so slow and can't move. The lateral quickness is non-existent. So Drummond's in a really good spot. It's just tough to trust. Marc Gasol, 8.1K playing way up pace against Brooklyn. He's similar to Conley. Him and Conley both are going to find a way to give you 40 fandom points. If you're too scared of this slate and you don't know what to do and you just want to play a nice, safe cash game, you know, let's say you want to, you know, you're a nice conservative person, then you just play some Marc Gasol. He'll find a way to get you 40 fandom points. He will not kill your lineup. Dwight Howard. Now, I hope Atlanta goes big against Golden State. I hope they do, because then Dwight should grab every rebound and put up 35, 40 fandom points. The problem is that's like his ceiling. So, and that's what he needs to give you the value. So I like it. I don't love it. Rudy Gobert, coming off a monster game on Sunday, 57 fandom points. And before that, he was awful. 21 against Brooklyn. He killed a lot of us. 19 fandom points against Minnesota, where they got blown out. 30 against OKC. So he was coming off a stretch of three games where he was brutal. This is a decent matchup. I mean, you can attack the Pelicans' bigs. Now, the stats are misleading because obviously most of the season they did not have Cousins. I don't mind it. It's fine. DeAndre Jordan. I love this play. I think Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, like that duo could be in some winning GPP lineups on this slate. So I don't mind that. I mean, there's no reason. If he gets less than 20 rebounds, I will consider that a failure, Andre DeAndre Jordan. Al Horford is 6'9" and wants to stand 35 feet away from the hoop. Brooke Lopez, not against Memphis. Greg Monroe, I mean, the Bucks need scoring. The problem is the minutes, man. 20 one day, 30 the next, 12 the next. So tournaments only. Miles Turner, I feel like I haven't played him in a while. I used to love playing him in tournaments. Another guy lately for Indiana, the minutes have been down. Everything's trending in the wrong direction. So I need to research Indiana for this slate to figure out what the hell's going on. Nurkic, man, Nurkic is still too cheap. He's 5.9K. Towns is not a good defender. So Nurkic to me might be this. It's pretty amazing how fast guys can become chalk. Even on 12-game slate, I think Nurkic is in a great spot against Towns in Minnesota. 5.9K, a very fair price. Let me see what he is on DraftKings. I won't be able to find that one either. He's 6.8K. Yeah, that makes sense because DraftKings is smarter. So on DraftKings, he's 6.8K. That's expensive. That's on the cusp. But does he have a ceiling at that price? Not much. So I like him much more for FanDuel. Then you got Clint Capella. I think Clint Capella was in all the winning GPP lineups on Saturday. He had like 40 FanDuel points against Memphis. Who saw that coming? Dear God, that made me freaking irate. Against the Spurs, you can chase that if you want. Cody Zeller's 5K, so he's dirt cheap. Frank the Tank's still out. He's going to play 24, 26, 28 minutes. Very safe play. You could use Zeller in cash games on this slate. Safe for all formats, actually. Then Robin Lopez, Deadman Walking still starts for San Antonio. Doesn't play a ton of minutes, but still starts. That's probably about it on this slate. All right, that's it. We made it through. All right, remember, have any questions, tweet at me, at DanielAGreen1 on Twitter. And when I tweet out the link to this show, hit the RT button. Retweet it out. If you want me to release a 10-minute audio clip of my top plays of the day around 6 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, because, man, so much is going to change between now, 4:44 a.m., and lineup lock tomorrow. So if you want me to do one of the 10-minute video for you guys of my top plays, remember, we need 100 retweets between now and 4 p.m. Eastern. That's a cutoff. I'm cutting you guys off at 4 p.m. Eastern. So let's see if we can do it. 100 retweets. All right, that's it. Hope you achieved glory or had a fun weekend. I know Monday sucks, but a very delicious, scary, glorious 12-game slate on Monday. So let's win some money. And that's it. For the bailiff, for the judge, court is adjourned.